Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. along with Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Senior Associate Athletic Director Brad LaRondo joins us this morning talking about basketball tickets for men, basketball tickets for women, winter sports coming up, all of that kind of thing. May give us a little insight into why you're not playing baseball with everybody else. And I fully understand it. So does Bob, because of sizes of venues, et cetera.
Yeah, well, it's a happy Halloween. I thought for sure I'd come in here and you guys would have, like, masks on or, you know, whatever. But all I saw was Chris Walton back there.
So yeah.
It was good.
I'm dressed as a shell of a human being.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Yeah, it's an exciting week for us. Paul J., you mentioned basketball. This is kind of the crossover phase, and you got your football game, but then you've also got basketball tipping off. You know, the men on Thursday night, the women on Sunday. So first chance for really the public to get out and see these two teams in exhibition games. So kind of an exciting week, and then from here on out, it's like, you know, boom, boom, boom. You got games all the time and, you know, having some fun with it. So
I was looking forward to that Portland State game. I thought that would have been a lot of fun, but apparently couldn't work it out.
Well, yeah, and you know, that was kind of one of those that came last minute, and we found a good quality team in Portland State that was going to come over, and then you have to turn in the waiver to the NCAA, you know, to make sure that they're good with everything. Obviously, they were with the charity playing the game, sure. But Portland State would have had to miss class on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, which is big class nights for them, in order to come over here. So one of the stipulations was, hey, it's great to have the charity game. It's great to play it, all that. All the money can go to it. We can give you the extra game, but just don't miss class. These players in basketball, you know, Bob and I were talking off the air, they tend to travel so much during the season that class becomes, you know, one of those things that you're trying to make sure they don't miss it anytime they can't, or anytime they can, not to miss it. And so that kind of got in the way, and then we tried to look at other dates, didn't quite work out, but it leads us to Thursday night. College of Idaho, which has a very good program. You know, their coaching staff over there is extremely good coaching staff. They're going to be it's going to be a fun game. Probably bring some fans from over in Canyon County, Caldwell Nampa, to the Taco Bell Arena and get a chance to kind of see what our guys are all about. This is an exciting Bronco basketball team that I think fans are going to really like right off the get-go.
Well, there's a lot back, but I think the thing for me Thursday night that I'm looking forward to most is Christian Sengfelder and Lexus Williams. You know, we've heard about them coming as grad transfers from Fordham and Valparaiso. They were starters on both of those teams. I'm interested to see how good they are and how much they're going to, you know, fit in right away with the people we've got.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you've seen in college basketball, the whole grad transfer rule has kind of helped a lot of teams as they kind of plug and fill in gaps. And certainly for Boise State, having a guy like Christian at 6'9", who can step out, shoot the ball. He's pretty physical underneath. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll go in there and bang around, get some rebounds. And he has got a very smooth shot. I mean, he's one that I think fans will immediately fall in love with because he's a matchup problem. He can score from the outside, but he's willing to go in there and throw some elbows as well and be physical. Lexus, an awesome kid. I've had a chance to get to know him this fall. He's getting his master's in athletic leadership, but he's kind of your consummate mm-hmm. point guard. He wants to distribute, but if he's got an open shot, he'll take it, and he's got a pretty good stroke. So I think those two will really bring some senior leadership to this team because they started at other places that have been successful. And then you throw in Chandler Hutchinson. You know, I mean, that guy's the real deal and kind of the guy that's going to lead this team, you know, throughout the course of the year and be your steady player. And then there's a good supporting cast after that. So I think you're right, Bob. Seeing how those senior transfers mesh with the rest of them is going to be key.
Football season's worked pretty good with Montel Cozart.
Yeah, that's not a bad little pickup along the way. You know, the grad transfer from Kansas, and we've seen that's played out pretty well.
And, of course, you got an NCAA team coming back in the BSU women's team. And, you know, there are a lot of people I started finding last year who are just buying tickets for women's games.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty cool.
Gordy has done an unbelievable job. You talk about a guy that is one of the top coaches in the country that probably doesn't get the recognition all the time. Gordy Presnell and his staff do an amazing job. Just the way that they run their program and the discipline and the technique and how they coach their players up, it seems like you can plug in some players and they just continue to win and do a nice job that way. And so I do think that our women's team, there's some high expectations in that building. They know what they did last year, and I think that they've got some players that want to help continue that and move it on for a second straight year. So they'll be fun to watch. I mean, I really do think, you know, the two women, the women's program and the men's program, are very much worth coming out, getting a look, you know, really seeing how you're going to gravitate toward them. A lot of games, but a good chance to come out and see them early.
We're visiting with Senior Associate Athletic Director Brad Lorando here on Bronco Tuesday. Brad, ticket options for people for both men's basketball, women's basketball, season tickets, obviously. Mm-hmm. How do people get them, and are there going to be other plans that are going to be available too?
Yeah, so season tickets for men's basketball are still on sale, you know, competitively priced. We've got three or four different structures depending on where you sit. The big thing for men's basketball that we rolled out starting today, actually, is what we call kind of a conference plan or a half-season ticket or a mini plan. It's really not a mini plan as in go pick your games, but it's a price point for all of the conference games. So if you feel like during November and December those games don't look, you know, attractive to you, or you can't make it because of Christmas parties or whatever else is going on, you can get all of our conference games for a certain price point and have the same seat at every single one of them. And really, when you get to conference, that's when we need the 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people in there. Obviously, we'd love that many no matter what game, but we know early on in the season as the team is building up and football's still in play that you're going to have a little bit less crowds. But that conference plan, starting today, you can call the athletic ticket office at 426-1287. You can also go online at broncosports.com, and then you can get women's basketball season tickets as well. And women's basketball, very affordable, great entertainment for the value.
That conference plan sounds like the sort of thing that would make a good Christmas gift as well.
Absolutely. I mean,
you look at it
for the basketball fan or somebody that, you know, kind of locked in through football season and a bowl game, you know, you could get a Christmas present of the conference plan, and all of a sudden you're looking at being able to see those games with San Diego State, UNLV, Fresno State, Nevada, you know, every conference team that comes in.
We're talking with Senior Associate Athletic Director.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Senior Associate Athletic Director Brad Lorando joins us this morning. One of the most interesting football seasons I've ever seen. It's really been interesting with the dual quarterback thing and the development of this team as the season has gone on.
Yeah,
really,
I mean,
incredible.
Yeah, it really has, and I think it shows you how long a football season, how short a football season can be, but how long it can be in the different pieces in the middle there. And what games you kind of, you know, you look back at the Washington State game, which seems forever ago now, and having a 31-10 lead, that lead disappears, you lose in three overtimes. What's this team going to do from there? Okay, you get a win to start conference, then the Virginia game, which, you know, we all know wasn't the way you want to perform in a game. But since then, it seems like there's that click that's happened. And the defense we knew was going to be good just from watching them play all year. But then, you know, looking at that quarterback in the offense situation, it's about a couple young men that are willing to kind of put the other things aside, walk into the room, walk into the meeting room, walk out to the field and go, okay, how can we make our team better and have a chance to win? And I think that's a tribute to both Montel and Rip. And it was great to see that offense kind of do some things, you know, last week.
I've never seen anything like it. It's incredible.
I mean, I've seen guys trade series.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever seen it where you better be ready, because I know as a play-by-play guy, you're really looking hard to see, all right, is it three there or is it four?
Well,
and then sometimes it's both.
Yeah, and I think there's been a couple times on the stats where a pass by one or the other has been credited to the other. So you got to keep a close eye on it. And it's really, you know, the coaching staff trying to find unique ways and work with the tools that they have and the weapons that they have in order to make this team the most successful it can be.
I don't know that I've been with a team that has used more players, you know, getting more out of more different people than this team is, certainly in the 10 years I've been here.
Yeah, and I think you look at Boise State and the success of Boise State football, it really has been for a long time about, you know, guys coming in, being given a role, accepting that role, kicking as much butt as you can at that role, and then your role grows a little bit. And I think this year has been a perfect example of that. A lot of young guys that are trying to fit in, do their thing, they've got a role. Maybe their role increases as the year goes. There's some veterans that maybe hadn't done a lot before that have an opportunity. And I think you're seeing that this team is getting better as the year goes on, and I think that's really what you want to have happen.
5 o'clock on Saturday against Nevada.
Yeah, 5 o'clock game. How about that? You know, so 5 o'clock game against
Nevada. It's gonna be light out.
Yeah, we're actually gonna kick off in the daylight in November, which is gonna be great. So, no, that's been a major topic among fans and in this community, and hopefully this year, you know, they've been able to see that with an afternoon game against Troy, 6 o'clock games, even though they were weeknights against Virginia and New Mexico, but a 5 o'clock game in November against Nevada, I think is terrific. It's great. You're gonna be done at the game by 8:30. Still have your evening. You actually go home and actually catch another game on TV that night. I think it's
somebody else. BYU Fresno's playing late. Yeah, they got the late spot.
So catch that. So we really like the 5 o'clock game time. Homecoming. So there'll be a lot of alums back, a lot of former players back. The homecoming parade starts at 2. So if you're trying to get to the stadium or coming in, realize that University Drive from about 2 to about 2:50 or 3 o'clock is going to be closed down for the parade. But it's going to be a cool parade. I think there's like, you know, over like 50 or 60 student organizations that are involved. And that's always a homecoming tradition. You know, so hopefully you can get out and see that, then get into the stadium and get to those gates by 4:30. You know, a lot of times people try to get there at 5 minutes to 5, and then you get backlogged. You know, we do have the security protocols, but if you get there just a few more minutes early, you know, maybe by 4:30, you're going to be in there to see the team entrance, get the national anthem, and get ready for kickoff. So we're excited for Saturday. You know, longtime rival, too, you know.
Need to take a break. KBOI News time, 8:51.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Talking football with Brad Lerondo. After we talked to basketball with Brad Lerondo.
Just a couple of minutes left.
You know, Paul J., we were talking off air just about how fun this Nevada-Boise State rivalry is.
It's good to play them again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rivalry that has spanned about 40 years. Which a lot of people don't realize. This is the longest-running series between Boise State and opponent. This is the 42nd game. And you think about the Vandals-Broncos, yeah, an intense rivalry, no question. But the one thing that Nevada has that's different than Idaho is Boise State has played them in the Big Sky, the Big West, the WAC, the Mountain West now. So every league, there's been a rivalry renewed with Nevada. Now, the way the scheduling goes in the Mountain West, we haven't played them for the last 2 years. And people need to realize this is better than a 1-7 team. I mean, I'm just going to tell you that right now.
They lost by 2 to Colorado State and 3 to Air Force.
3 to Air Force, and they're averaging 40 points a game over the last 3 games because their quarterback is playing a lot better. And so this is going to be a game that's going to have some entertainment value to it, no question. So don't look at 1-7 Nevada. Look at it, Boise State, Nevada, 5 o'clock Saturday night. Where else would you want to be?
Yeah, and they've played some very important games in the history of this program.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, Saturday night, 5 o'clock. You got a longtime rival coming in. I heard today on the latest weather forecast, Chris was telling me 70 degrees and sunshine all day, or maybe was that 45 and maybe a slight chance of rain.
That might have been July. Like I don't remember.
It's November 4th in Idaho. You got to be expecting a little bit of, but 45 degrees, maybe a little bit of rain. Hey, it's football weather. It's November.
It's November. Come on.
Yeah, let's go. Well, I mean, it's going to be exciting for sure.
Yeah, it is. Ticket situation?
You know, we've still got tickets out there. We're pushing the 30,000 mark on tickets out, that, you know, with students still having some to pick up. But there's still plenty of good seats, you know, to get and go pick up and make sure that you're at that game Saturday night, because Boise State is playing for something now in November, which is awesome. They have in the past, but this is an even bigger one right now. So.
Only unbeaten team in the Mountain West in conference play.
All right, thanks, guys. KBOI News time, 8:56, Idaho Talks Live, lurking in the wings after a news update at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI news time, 9:06.
The president has been tweeting this morning, as he normally does in most mornings.
And some of the stuff he's been tweeting.
Well, he said that the biggest story out of the charges that were announced yesterday in the Russia investigation, as far as he's concerned, the biggest story is the resignation of Tony Podesta from the Podesta firm. Now, Tony Podesta was a Democrat lobbyist, and he is the older brother of former Hillary Clinton aide John Podesta, the one whose emails were stolen originally, or hacked anyway. And Tony Podesta yesterday announced that he would step aside from the Podesta Group, his firm, after coming under investigation by Robert Mueller. And what the president wrote in a two-part tweet was the biggest story yesterday, the one that has the Democrats in a dither, is Podesta running from his firm. What he knows about crooked Dems is earth-shattering. He and his brother could drain the swamp, which would be yet another campaign promise fulfilled. Fake news week. And
how does it spell week?
W-E-A-K, okay. For some reason. I'm not even sure why that would be. Anyway, court papers, of course, unsealed Monday, revealed an indictment against Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, and then a guilty plea by Mr. George Papadopoulos, another advisor.
He just admits, I lied. So what?
He admitted to lying to the FBI about meetings with Russian intermediaries. And this is how most of this stuff started to begin with, is that these guys, so when they were being confirmed into the U.S. government, went before, you know, Congress, were asked some questions, and they were asked, do you have any ties with Russia? Have you done any work, you know, where you've worked, where you've been a foreign, you know, a foreign agent of some sort? And they said no. And then it turned out they had. And so, I think the first thing that Comey wanted to know, and Mueller after him, is, you know, why did you lie about it? And to a certain extent, some of them think, well, they lied about it because they hadn't reported any of it on their taxes to begin with as income.
Bingo, bango.
And they'd put it in the bank, an offshore bank. And on the other hand, we keep hearing from their lawyers that that's nothing unusual. Might not be unusual. We're trying to figure out whether it's against the law.
Well, yeah, and it's certainly not on the up and up as far as most voters in this country are concerned.
Now, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says he sees nothing wrong with a former campaign advisor to President Donald Trump reaching out to a Kremlin-linked think tank. Of course, right now we're not really looking for input from a Russian foreign minister.
No.
But court papers revealed that George Papadopoulos, who worked on the Trump campaign, had reached out to a Russian he believed to have links to the Russian Foreign Ministry to arrange a meeting between the Trump team and Russian officials.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian International Relations Council confirmed contact with Papadopoulos, but said a meeting never took place. The council insisted that it was an independent advisory body and that it hosts many politicians at various public meetings. Asked about the man mentioned in the indictment, Lavrov told reporters on Tuesday that he does not see anything illegal in the interaction. Now, also this morning, President Trump says a campaign advisor who has admitted to lying to the FBI, that again would be Papadopoulos, about the meetings with Russian intermediaries, was a low-level volunteer who was proven to be a liar. Trump sought to distance himself, apparently, from Papadopoulos. He says few people knew the young low-level volunteer named George, who has already proven to be a liar. The court documents say that Papadopoulos was approached by people claiming ties to Russia, offering dirt. And the president said the allegations happened long before Papadopoulos joined the campaign. But the indictment details allegations stretching from 2006 all the way to this year, 2017.
But then he says that the other stuff he lied about with the Russians, the female Russian national, et cetera, et cetera, were lies.
Okay.
But they just weren't important.
And essentially,
not important.
Yeah. And essentially, they said, well, he was a low-level guy. There are pictures of him sitting at a meeting with Jeff Sessions and with the president.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that doesn't make any difference, especially, you know, Sarah Sanders said yesterday, it doesn't make any difference. If you wanted to implicate somebody who simply has a picture with Donald Trump, then you'd have thousands and thousands of people.
True.
It's like, you know, with us, we've posed for pictures with lots of people.
People we don't know.
But that doesn't necessarily make them our best friends. But yeah, all day yesterday, there were people going on, some from the Trump campaign and some from, you know, the opposition and an awful lot of pundits and whatnot going on television and telling what this all meant. And according to the ones who are pro-Trump, it meant absolutely nothing except that it completely exonerated Donald Trump. And according to the other side, It was just the opposite. It meant that somebody in the Trump administration or somebody in the Trump campaign was, in fact, trying to collude with Russia, and that this is just the beginning of a bunch of people who are going to be indicted for this. Now, Jay Sekulow, he has been very commonly on CNN the last several months. He's the personal lawyer for President Trump. He says the president is not planning to fire Robert Mueller, which I think would be a big mistake right now anyway. And he says pardons for his former campaign aides facing federal charges are not on the table as well. And those have been speculations all along. Sekulow's comments to ABC's Good Morning America came a day after a former Trump aide admitted lying to the FBI again about a meeting with Russia. The Kremlin says Russia is not implicated by the first criminal cases against associates of President Trump. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said that so far Russia doesn't figure in any way in these charges which have been made, and that Russia hopes they do not feed hysteria. He said that accusations of Russian meddling in the election remain unfounded, and we are observing the situation with interest. And Mueller sent a warning to individuals in President Donald Trump's, in his little orbit, I guess, that if they lie about contacts between the president's campaign and Russians, they will end up on the wrong end of federal criminal charges, which I think is why they brought out all three of these yesterday, simply for that reason.
Amazing.
336-3700. Our local number is 208-336-3700. What does this mean to you? Which side of this do you believe that you're on? You know, having watched this with maybe an objective eye, with maybe a subjective eye, which side do you believe that you're on in this? 336.
What can you believe here?
Well, good point. 336-3700. Do you think this is the beginning of a downfall, or do you see this as just another thing that the president can simply, you know, brush off his shoulder? We'd like to hear from you right after this. It's 914. It is Halloween, and that is also our KBOY rewards code for today. Halloween, Halloween. Just
is that Ray Parker or radio?
That was Ray Parker.
Same,
I think radio.
Same person.
I kind of think radio was actually just Ray Parker and some studio musicians. Anyway,
it was.
Yeah, it was radio. That was what was the original hit? A Woman Needs Love, Just Like You Do, or something like that.
Yep.
Which apparently was sung to men. Anyway, it's 9:21. We've been talking about what happened yesterday in Washington, the indictments, and what different people have been saying about it. The president today says not only does it not really matter, but George Papadopoulos is basically nobody, and he's the one who pleaded guilty to being essentially a Russian agent but not saying so. I don't know. A lot of people are probably... Well, I don't know whether a lot of people are worried or not. It depends on who's had contact with him over the past month or so, because he agreed to work with the special counsel, Robert Mueller. And as such, you know, chances are he's been saying whatever he knows. But on the other hand, if he's really a low level, just a volunteer for the campaign and didn't know anything, then, you know, chances are nobody else will be implicated by him.
All right, let's go to the phones and Barbara. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
We're new to Idaho. We moved here in March, and we're happy to leave California politics, which I think are a whole horrible mess. So I come to Idaho, and I think it'll be conservative and fair. And I listen to you guys, and I'm wondering why I hear you say that what happened here in the indictments and how this is wrong, we should prosecute. Do you think justice should be evenly applied?
Do I think justice should be evenly applied?
Yeah. Do you think it should apply to all people? Do you think it should apply to both sides of the aisle?
Yeah.
Then why don't I seem to hear any problem about the $145 million in Uranium One paid by the
Russians? Because there were no indictments yesterday about that.
Oh, so until there's an indictment, you wouldn't speak?
We've talked about it a lot.
We've talked about it a lot.
We don't have to be talking about it right now. We're talking about what happened yesterday and the reaction to it, but that's simply because it did happen yesterday.
Yeah, it did. It did. And yesterday I heard talk show hosts on your same radio station talk about Mr. Berger and having stolen documents out of the archives, and then he got a slap in the hand, and these guys are probably going to go to prison. And I don't see the justice.
Well, wait a minute. You just said you... you heard him talk about Berger getting a slap in the hand, so they were talking about him, right?
They talked about the fact that it was unfair, but I didn't. Hmm. And maybe I missed the show when you guys said that. But I wondered if you thought that justice should be on both sides of the aisle.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. But what, you know, what's happening today when there's breaking news on one certain thing, that's what we tend to talk about. And we have the phones open.
Yeah.
So people like you can call up and go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What about this? What about that?
Yeah, but you don't necessarily need to call up and tell us that we forgot to mention this in relation to every other thing in the universe.
No, I didn't ask that. I just asked because I didn't hear the other shows.
Yeah.
If that was part of your approach, and you said yes, it was.
So am I for constitutional law? Yes, I am.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, yes. Sure.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor of that constitution.
Yeah. Have a good day, Barb.
On the other hand, yeah, I don't necessarily, you know, I won't necessarily bring up a case about something else when I'm talking about what's in the news today.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I understand why other people do at times. I don't tend to argue about, well, what about this and what about this? You know, because let's put it this way. If somebody gets a light sentence for something and then somebody else doesn't, you know, I'm not going to stand up in court and say, yeah, but you just did this. There's inconsistency here, because then the judge is going to explain to me what the differences actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different people judging different things here.
No question. All right, we need to take a break. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
And one today for your pain-free tomorrow. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jane, Chris on a Tuesday morning. 9:37. Let's go to the phones. And John of Boise. John.
How you doing today?
Good.
Glad to have you guys back.
Well, thank you. What's up?
Wanted to talk about two things.
Okay.
I think the first thing, and you know, I guess you'll get to correct me if I'm wrong. But the premise of your show is that it's our opinion and not yours.
Generally, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, clear the air on that, because that last call made it almost confusing.
That's why we always have the phones, you know, available for people to call in and give their opinion on things.
I know, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to change anything.
I appreciate that.
Well, some days I do, but...
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, yeah. You'll have to excuse me. If we're going to be talking about this current... investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody needs to understand the sense of what's happening here. As well, I shouldn't say everybody. Let's just say me has a large perception of being having the sheets pulled over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are too many in this mess that were there while it was happening.
Okay.
I find it very confusing.
So you think there's some deception going on, at least in part of it?
Well, let's just say that there are cops on the street, right?
Right.
And let's say that one cop sees another one doing something or knows of another one who's doing something and doesn't say anything. Isn't that cop just as guilty?
To a certain extent, yeah. If you are seeing the law being broken, or you know of some sort of malfeasance and you are not reporting it, then chances are, if this happened within a company, like for instance, right here in the radio stations, if I knew somebody was stealing, and yet I said nothing about it, and then later they said, well, I understand you knew about this. We just fired the guy who was stealing, and we're firing you, too, because you didn't say anything. I could say, well, I wasn't stealing. And they said, well, that's not the point. You didn't help the company at all by letting somebody else steal.
Right. And I think that's where all of this is a giant mess.
Mm.
Because there's no way anybody in that sense at the top of this pile should be involved in this. Mueller, Comey, any of them. They should all be, they should all need attorney. Even the current, you know, investigator has problems in this. If this is all to stay connected from what they're talking about today or yesterday till, you know, till as of yesterday, there's no way he can be in this. There's no way somebody, he couldn't refuse himself.
Somebody yesterday had brought up a similar point that why is it that the FBI or the directors of the FBI or even former directors of the FBI are looking into the, all of this sort of thing when they are privy to most information of things that are going on in the United States and apparently either didn't know or pretended not to know anything about it.
Well, but that's just what I'm saying. And we have so many at the top as far as directors saying, well, as far as I know, there isn't any investigation into Mr. Trump. Well, we know that's not the truth. Right?
Right.
We know that we know we have a large sense here that there was way more to meet the eye than plenty of those congressional press conferences, as, you know, I like to call them, because they're not really about finding out anything.
There clearly has been for some time, there has been an investigation into at least the Republican National Committee and, you know, different things that were going on in the campaign for president. There also was an investigation into the Democratic National Committee and things that were going on during the campaign for president. And I don't mind that at all. It's like in the NFL where they tell you now, and they say it so many times, that, well, you know, as usual, every scoring play is reviewed. Well, good idea.
Right, yeah. But, again, here we have the lead investigator with supposed unlimited authority to look at what he wants.
As opposed to a
That's letting the criminal be the cop.
It could be, yeah. It's a possibility.
But there's not even a could be. If he was in the position of authority to know or direct that those previous investigations, we got a problem.
That's true.
You mean if they were, if they didn't find things that they should have found?
Well, when
or if things were found and just not mentioned.
Right. Well, and then that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, you guys have a good day.
Well, you too. Thanks. I think we kind of got that, but you can tell how complicated the whole thing is.
Oh, no question. Let's go to Mark of Eagle.
I kind of see what he's saying. It's sort of a, what you might say a conflict of interest there.
Yep.
You know, I was listening to Savage yesterday. Two things I'll point out is what Savage said. Look at the two attorneys that are appointed to this, or not attorneys, the judges.
Yeah.
Deborah A. Robertson and Amy Berman, both DNC donors in the past to Clinton and Obama. Obama appointed, apparently, Berman, from what I read here. But if you go to the website, the story's there. It tells about the judge, Deborah Robinson, a preliminary judge overseeing cases like with Marion Barry, NBA player Allen Iverson, things like that. This other one apparently was one who dismissed the lawsuit. This Jackson, Harvard Law School graduate, dismissed the lawsuit brought about against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton by relatives of victims of the 2012 Benghazi attack. So how convenient that these two judges are involved in this. Secondly, don't you find this very just too coincidental that with what came out towards the end of last week with this Fusion GPS bit and the fake dossier or the dossier that was basically paid for by the Clintons, and this comes right out this week, right off the bat, boom, almost like to divert attention away from what was going on and what was found out about the Clinton Foundation paying for a fake dossier.
Okay, and the flip side of that, though, is that the only reason that was brought up was to deviate away from this. So it depends on who is talking about
it. Okay, did you see the pictures that were shot about a week ago? It was on Drudge Report. They show Lady Gaga with five current presidents other than Trump. They showed Carter there on the left. Mm-hmm. They showed Clinton on the far right. They showed both Junior and Daddy Bush.
I've seen several of those pictures. I didn't happen to see the ones with Lady Gaga.
Okay, well, here's the thing. There was also a follow-up story that you could find on Drudge, and it said how Jimmy Carter came out and said, and you could find it, I'll email it to you, mm-hmm. said that there was nothing on Trump about Carter or about the Russians being tied to anything with the campaign. That came straight out of an interview with Jimmy Carter.
No, I did read some of that interview.
Okay, great. I'm glad you saw that. Okay. So you guys have a good day.
You too.
All right, thanks, Mike. Bye. Need to take a break. It's 9:46.
Why? Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Got some quick instant messages here.
Okay, we also have another phone call.
Okay, James Acuna says, this is not a he said investigation. This is a paper trail with timelines. Their emails prove they talked about using low-level people to meet with Russians and leaving Trump out of it. Hence the meeting at Trump Tower with Kushner, Manafort, Trump Jr., and Russian Papadopoulos was their contact between Russians and Trump team. They are guilty. So that's James Acuna. And let me try one more here. Let's go, and let's see. Rich Boise says, I am on the side of I hope the far right and far left fall flat on their faces when this crazy Russia collusion circus is over.
All right, let's go to Rich. Is same Rich, Rich?
No, that wasn't me. Hey, first of all, Mark said it came out that the Clinton Foundation paid for that dossier. He is just a liar. He just makes things up. But he has a conspiracy theory for everything. It just gets me. That last caller, what was he talking about? About how long has it been since Mueller was head of the FBI? I didn't have a chance to look that up. But he wasn't investigating any of this stuff. I mean, this investigation has lasted for, 8 months?
Yeah, around that.
Benghazi, how long did Benghazi go on? And there, nothing, absolutely zero found in it. But this is just starting. They're just getting these indictments now to use these people to use leverage to find other indictments. And when they start finding enough financial indictments to where they can start getting into Trump's financials, I think they're going to find something on him.
So you think this is just the beginning of there are going to be a lot of dominoes topple before the whole thing's over?
Well, yeah, this is how prosecutors work, and it isn't really right. They get one person, and then they threaten them with prison if they don't give something out on somebody else, and they keep doing that till they get what they want. Remember the Whitewater investigation?
Mm-hmm.
There was absolutely nothing found anything wrong with Whitewater, but they found a whole bunch of people that had cheated on their taxes, and they tried using them and forcing them, and that's just how it works.
Yeah, and that's
this is just starting.
That's what some of the pro-Trump people were saying yesterday. They said, well, obviously, you know, if this is all they have, then that has nothing to do with Donald Trump. But it's like you say, they're going to prosecute any crime that they can uncover.
Yes, and then they'll use it. And that Papadopoulos guy, I think the reason why he only got charged with such a minor crime is because he's already cooperated with him and done things for him.
Yeah, that was part of the speculation yesterday, too.
Because he was arrested a month ago and didn't say anything about it. He was keeping quiet for some reason, you know, if he was working the angles or whatever, and he wasn't charged with much of a crime, but he's kept quiet about it after he was arrested for a month. That indictment, I mean, once you arrest somebody, they have a right to go forward. You couldn't stop them from talking about being arrested. He
mm-hmm.
kept quiet. He kept quiet on his own, and his lawyers kept quiet for a reason. So they've been using him. Maybe they could even put a wire on him or something. But he kept quiet for a month, and that's kind of strange that you didn't hear anything about an arrest.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Whole thing is mind-boggling.
Bob says, Chris, did anyone know the name Papadopoulos before a couple of days ago? I am on the news all day, every day, and I had never heard of him. Why not? Well, I think the
low level.
Yeah, the Trump people say it was because he was a low level. volunteer advisor of some sort. His name had been mentioned, I think, just one time by Trump when he was talking about different people that were on certain that were working on the campaign in some sort of an advisory committee. And of course, there weren't just two or three people doing that; there were a lot.
Yeah, there are so many people hooked up and messed up and all this stuff. I guess they'll all get their 10 minutes of fame.
Yeah, maybe.
At one point or another.
Oh, and quickly, Curtis of Boise said, first of all, welcome back, Chris. Thank you. Second of all, I'm so disappointed you ruined my day. I even had our picture framed and put in the lobby. Gonna have to take it down. Gee, thanks. Well, now, Curtis, I know you. You write me just about every day, so... We weren't talking about you. We were talking about, you know, other people.
No.
Except for those who are listening.
No. 9:50.